Thank you. Giving all praise to God. Thankful to my pastor for allowing me this opportunity. Wherever he may be, may he continue to be blessed. I pray that you pray with me as we go through the Word of God. My wife, would you please stand? Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? If you find one, you can't afford her. All right. Let's get to the word. Our text is written in the your teller. We're going to do something a little bit different. The Spirit is leading me that we read it all. The whole congregation, if you can read, we're going to read it all together in concert. I might stop as you're reading. That's because I'm listening to what you're saying. Let us read together. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day he raised again." Then they remembered his words. Tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Thank you. Wondering what had happened. This text is, I'm giving a shout out to women today. The women did a lot. I really believe if you want something done, give a job to a woman, and it will get done. I don't know about this church. A lot of men are in this church, but you go to most churches, you don't find a whole bunch of men in church. You don't find bedside Baptists. You don't find the pillow Presbyterians. You don't find those mattress Methodists. They all right. Let me get down to the word before I get all on. What had happened was, let me tell you what really happened. What had happened was it was rolled away. Touch somebody and say what had happened was it was rolled away. That's the wrong neighbor. Touch somebody else and say whatever it is that you've been dealing with. Today, what happened was it was rolled away. Amen. I said, whatever has been in your past, whatever you have been struggling with, whatever you have been ashamed about, somebody holler, what happened was it was rolled away. Second Baptist, the bridge that brings over God's grace. His deliverance, his strength, his power, his fortitude, the one that gets you through your situations, the one that gets you through your circumstances. Now, I know you are not Jesus and spotless, but maybe life is carrying you away. Listen, and you've been nailed down by disappointments. You've been nailed down by divorces. You've been nailed down by chaos. You've been nailed down by confusion. You've been nailed down by abuse or even the secret things that you can't even talk about. Let me tell you something. Everybody in here has his or her own nails. Everybody in here has his or her own cross. And no matter what school you went to, there's a cross for you. No matter how many zeros on your paycheck, I can tell you there will be a cross for you, a cross for your fine self, a cross for your plump self, a cross for your skinny self. There's a cross for your broken self, for your black self, your white self, your brown self. There's still a cross for you. And some people stay nailed to their cross. Some people still complain what they have been through, who hurt them, who betrayed them, who gave them the kiss of death, and who walked out on them. And then there are those who will get off the cross, but they stay in the tomb. The tomb of regret, the tomb of misery, the tomb of agony and depression. And they stop living and breathing, and they anesthetize themselves with some drug or some sex or some person that's fly by night. And you find yourself wrapped up in the grave clothes of despair. And then you live behind your tomb. But a few folk in this room have been resurrected above their circumstance, above their situation, above their trauma, above their crises, above their dilemma. There are a few folks in this room that know him in the power of his resurrection. And you have been, and you have seen God bring you out of stuff that you don't even know how you got out yourself. But to God be the glory for the things that he has done. And you know what the problem is with all those folk who have been resurrected from something? The problem is when people see you now, they think you have never been through anything. Will you set the record straight and tell them, I'm not here because I haven't been through anything. I'm not here because I haven't been nailed. I'm not here because I have never been in a tomb. I am not here because I've never been shut up. Through it all, I have decided I will not stay where you left me. I'm going to have a Sunday morning resurrection. It will lead to a Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning resurrection. Can you run with me to this first getting up morning in our text, Luke 24? The Bible says that they went away wondering, Peter, to himself, what had happened. The most comprehensive commentary on the resurrection is found in the New Testament epistle of the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul gives a 3-point sermon on the resurrection. His first point is that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's a mighty point. That Jesus was raised from the dead according to Scripture. In verse 3 says that Jesus Christ was crucified, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to Scripture. So my brothers and sisters, that in itself is the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. So the first point, Paul's resurrection sermon, is that Jesus got up. And then he goes further with the second point. The second point is where we come in. He says, along with us, those who die in Jesus would likewise be resurrected from the dead. And he says in verse 19 that if being a Christian is of value to us only now in this life, we are most miserable of creatures. Paul is saying that there is something on the other side for those that are in Christ Jesus, is that Christ was resurrected from the dead, so also shall we be resurrected from the dead. The words talks about we have the privilege of getting up. So don't mess with the resurrection. Because you overlook the resurrection, our faith is vain and we are still in our sin. But it's the third point. The third point that really challenges me, because it says not only was Jesus raised from the dead, not only was he that we live in Christ and we will be raised, but he says that we will have a resurrection body. That's when we get up, that we'll have a new body. That when we rise, we look different. As a matter of fact, Paul says it this way. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And at the last trump, or the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we, alive and remain, will be caught up to meet him in the air. He is saying there is going to be a great getting up morning. He says that this corruption must put on incorruption. He says that this mortal must put on immortality. And then a few verses later, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we don't celebrate a dead Jesus. We celebrate a Jesus that got up. And the good news is that we don't just celebrate the resurrection one day out of the year. But the good news of resurrection is that it happens every month, every week, every day. Because every day God is getting somebody up out of the stuff that they've been in. I wonder if there's a testimony in here today that you were dead in some stuff. You were down in some things. But thanks be unto God, because he knew how to get you up and to resurrect you. Because he knew that you could sit in a place today and say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be right now. That's a personal resurrection. And the truth of the matter, folk counted you out a long time ago, but God said not so. Some folk thought that you would never be at this place where you are right now, but God said not so. Some folk tried to defeat you and to destroy you, but God said not so. We fall down, but we get up. And I wonder if anybody in here has some down moments in your life. But thanks be to God that he lifted your burden and put you where you needed to be. Is there anybody in here that has experienced the resurrection? I know what it means to experience the resurrection. 4 heart attacks. All kind of hurt attacks. I know what it means to have a personal resurrection. If you do not mind running with me this first getting up morning, just for a few moments, because it's some sisters out there that can share with us some things that might help us this morning. As they come to the tomb, they show us what happens when we draw close to the resurrection. They have been with Jesus all week. You remember that roller coaster ride that Sunday that preceded the resurrection, where they watched Jesus ride triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. We call it what, Palm Sunday? And then those sisters were there in the crowd. They were waving their palm branches before Jesus, and then they cried with him and others, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And on Sunday, they were with the crowd rejoicing. But on Monday and Tuesday, they were hanging around Jesus as he went into the temple to preach and to teach. He was teaching about the kingdom of God. And those sisters were watching. They were still watching. They watched as Peter and John had been going to Bethany to find out where they might observe the Passover. They were standing at a distance watching. And as they went into the upper room for that intimate meal with Jesus and his disciples, they were always around Jesus. They wouldn't let him move. They were there on Friday, those same sisters, even at the foot of the cross. And they were there at the foot of the cross. They heard the last 7 sayings of Jesus. And they listened to him as he did all that he needed to do for our salvation. And as a matter of fact, Luke tells us that they were still there when they took him down off the cross that Friday afternoon. And as a matter of fact, they saw Joseph Arimathea take the body to place it in a tomb. They loved Jesus. They were always around Jesus. They wanted to stay around Jesus no matter the cost. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. There they go, following Jesus through this whole ordeal from Sunday to Saturday. Then they realize it was the Sabbath, and as their custom, they had to go and rest. So they went in to prepare the spices and prepare the perfumes to anoint his body. On the first day of the week, our text picks up in Luke 24. It's what happened in 23. So in Luke 24, they're going back to the tomb to anoint the body. And that old preacher would say, early one Sunday morning. They were there early. Here they come to the tomb with their spices prepared, with the perfume, getting ready to what? Anoint the body of Jesus. Sounds like a good thing for those sisters following Jesus to do. But brothers and sisters, I'm a little challenged by that, because I told you those sisters were what? They had been walking with Jesus a long time. So they were there. So their actions that morning reflects a faulty expectation. Didn't they hear him when he said in Luke chapter 9 that the Son of Man must be betrayed at the hands of sinful men? He will be crucified. He will be buried. But on the third day, he would rise again. Didn't they hear him when he said in Luke chapter 18 that the Son of Man must be buried, crucified, but rise on the third day? Weren't they listening when he told them that he would have to die, but he'd get up again? If they heard him, why were they coming to the tomb on the third day to anoint the body? That's a faulty expectation. They were going to the tomb looking for the wrong thing, but when they got there, they found the right thing. The Bible says that when they got there, they found that the stone had been rolled away. And when they looked in, they found that the body of Jesus was no longer there. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited that the Lord Jesus kept his word. He didn't stay in that tomb. Has anybody in here ever heard the word that if he died, he would come back again? I don't know about you, but I believe the Lord said that. He has comeback power. If you get hooked up with the Holy One, you likewise will have comeback power. And as I look over this sanctuary today, I come to tell you, many in here have comeback power. You have been down for the count every now and then, but you have comeback power. Many of you sitting today can testify that the Lord will give you comeback power. It might not always seem that you're going to make it back, but some kind of way, just in the nick of time, God can reach you right where you are and bring you where you need to be. Come back power. Somebody would say, I've been down, but I'm not down anymore. You would say, God gave me comeback power. You would tell you've been depressed, but I'm not depressed anymore because God gave me comeback power. You would say, I've been sick, but I'm not sick anymore because God gave me comeback power. And for somebody here today, still sick, still broke, still depressed, learn from your life. Trouble doesn't last always. If you stay connected to the Christ, he will give you comeback power. Over every situation, over every circumstance, he will give you comeback power. While we were here in the text, when the women get there, they see two men in dazzling white apparel. And they give these women a message. First, they ask them a question. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Then there's powerful words appear. They said, he is not here. He has risen. That's mighty good. Matthew adds to this explanation. He says he has risen just as he said. Did you miss that? Okay, rewind, press play. I said he has risen just as he said. You just missed your shouting cue. Rewind, press play. He has risen just like he said. So I come to serve notice on somebody here today. I need to tell you, the Lord keeps his promises. He said he was going to get up, and he did get up. And the good news is that we are the only world's religion where the leader died, but he got up. And the good news about our Mr. Reliable is that he never slumbers nor sleeps. We can call him in the morning. We can call him in the midnight hour. And when we call him, he makes everything all right. I wonder if there is anybody in here that had to call him every now and then and found out that he's faithful. Do you just what he said? He may not come when you want him to, but he's right on time. So the text said he has risen just as he said. Then he pushes it even further. Didn't you remember what he told you? He said if he died, he'd rise again. The problem was not a lack of trust. Their problem was a lack of memory. They just couldn't remember what the Lord had said. So if somebody forgot what he said, I came by today to help you remember. I came by to help you with your retention. I need you to remember what the Lord said. The Lord said, no weapon formed against you would prosper. Remember, the Lord said, weeping would endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Remember, the Lord said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Remember, if there is anybody in here that has a good memory today, do you remember that the Lord is my light and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, Brenda, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back again. Remember? Does anybody remember? And these sisters thought about what they heard, and then they remembered. And when you do remember, so my assignment today is to tell you to stop looking for living things among the dead. Stop looking for life among that which cannot offer you life. Relationships can't offer you life. Broken and bruised people who do not know Jesus cannot offer you life. You will not get fulfilled through education. You will not be satisfied with the career. You won't find it in things, cars, houses, clothes. You won't find it in social media. You won't find it in Twitter, in Instagram, in a Periscope and the like. You are looking for it all in the wrong places. So my job is to tell you he ain't there. Excuse me. He isn't there. Well, you ask me, well, preacher, if he's not there, where is he? Okay, I'll tell you. He has risen. Yeah. High five your neighbor and say he's alive and well. High five another neighbor and say he's alive and well. Some of you have forgotten. You have forgotten the doors that God opened for you. You have forgotten the prayers he's answered on your behalf. You have forgotten the miracles he's worked out for you. Even though you're not worshiping him, even though you're not serving him, even though you're not following him and obeying him, you forgot he's still blessing you. Remember something that you forgot. And when you remember something you forgot, you can't keep it to yourself. So they ran to tell the disciples everything the angels had told them. But the disciples didn't believe them. So Mary Magdalene was in that group. And Jesus had cast 7 devils out of her. She would never stop loving Jesus. She would never stop talking about Jesus. She was always right there where he was. Then in the text, it puts the spotlight on Peter. He says, I have to go see for myself. The Bible says that he ran to the tomb and he looked in and saw exactly what the women had said he would see. And the Bible said, instead of celebrating, he went away wondering what had happened. I'm starting to close now. Help me preach this sermon. Let me share this with you. I wish that I had been there to tell Peter what happened. But since I wasn't there, and since I have you here, I can tell you what happened. Will you help me close this sermon? What had happened was he got up from the dead. What had happened was he had victory over the grave. What had happened was he destroyed death. What had happened was he got up with all power in his hand. What had happened was death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't secure him. What had happened was he did just what he said. Is there anybody here today grateful that today you know what had happened? This ought to help somebody today. There are some folk who look at you now and remember you from what you used to look like back then. And you know what they do? They walk away wondering what had happened. I said, somebody looks at you now that knew you then, and they wondered what had happened. I believe there's somebody in here today. If I pass the mic, you could testify. What had happened was I was strung out, but he brought me back. What had happened was I messed up, but he blessed me up. What had happened was I was oppressed, but he lifted me up. What had happened was I was in a sin predicament, but he saved me. Is there anybody in here today with a testimony on your lips? You know, because of the resurrection, what had happened was I was lost, but now I'm found. What had happened was I was out, but he brought me back in. Is there anybody here that knows today, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you don't know where you would be? Is there anybody in here today that knows it's no secret what God can do? What he done for others, he'll do for you. What happened was amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Somebody in here has a changed life because God has resurrected you from one thing or another all your life. So we now have hope that he will see our loved ones again. What had happened was, we know that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There should be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. If we didn't have to go, I could stay there for a while. But let me tell you what had happened. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. But rising, he justified me, freed me forever. One day he's coming back. What a glorious day. It all comes down to this. Either you know that when you leave this life and in your soberest moments, you must face the fact that life is ultimately hopeless without Jesus. Do you have Jesus today? Let me tell you a story. There was a preacher called to this church, and for 7 straight Sundays, he preached the same sermon. And some of the women on the ministers and deacon wives got a little upset. So they called the deacons and said, look, this guy preached 7 sermons, same sermon 7 times. He got to preach something else. So they went to the preacher and said, look, man, everybody's getting a little upset. You can't do that. So he got in the pulpit the next Sunday, preached the same sermon. And they said they were hostile. They had a special meeting after church. And they told the deacons, if he preached it again, we're gonna get rid of him. So the deacons went to him and said, look, if you preach that sermon Sunday, they're going to get rid of you. He got in the pulpit, preached the same sermon. And then after he got through, he told them, The reason why I can't preach nothing else because y'all ain't got that yet. So I want you to look on your pew and say SOS. Y'all know what that means, right? Slide over something. I'm finna praise him. He'll give you a chance to get it right. He'll give you a chance to turn it around. He'll give you a chance to repent. He'll give you another chance. I don't know who I'm talking to, but whoever it is, get out of your seat and come to Jesus right now and say, I repent. I want to make another commitment to Jesus. I want to get saved. I want to rededicate my life to him. Give your heart to him now. Come on, come on. The doors of the church are open. And if Reverend Jackson come, will you come this day?
Amen. The church is standing. The choir is coming with a selection of invitation. Amen. If you're here today, and you've made the choice for Jesus to trust in his work at Calvary, receive the gift of eternal life.
Tell me.
Associate ministers preached, and he finished preaching, and he told me, now you stand up, and then you ask the people, did not our hearts burn within us as the man of God preached? So I did what he told me to do. Amen. But did not our hearts burn within us? Amen. Are we not grateful this morning for the message and the messenger in the person of Reverend Samuel Mathis? Amen. Let us remember all the announcements that have been brought to our attention. Let us continue in prayer one for another, and certainly for Pastor Jimerson and Mrs. Jimerson as they are traveling. Yes. Oh, yeah. And to all of our visitors, thank you for coming. We were blessed to have you here. Reverend Mathis is coming, and he will give us our benediction and dismiss us. Amen, and God bless you.
Amen.
I'm going to see if you got a faulty expectation. By a show of hands, I want to see everybody know they need more Jesus. By a show of hands, I want to see everybody know they love Jesus. By a show of hand, I want to see that you want to get closer to Jesus. Then why didn't you walk down that aisle? That's a faulty expectation.
Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, surely we are grateful for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard. Grateful to be able to declare on one more time how great is our God. Thank you for the blessing of being here. Thank you for the preached word. Thank you for Reverend Samuel Mathis. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus, the church said, amen,
amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen. And God bless. Mrs. Coleman, thank you again.